everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster along with Mr. Tom Fairbanks. Tom on the other side of the glass, engineering today's show, making sure all of the buttons are in the right direction as Tom says a little prayer on this Friday, December the 12th, 2014. Hope you had a great week. Looking forward to a good weekend. I know I am. A little bit of rain, maybe. We need it, certainly. We are live each weekday. We are here 12:04 to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. You don't need to be in front of a radio if you're by a computer. We live stream the show at KVOI.com and on my website, BuckmasterShow.com. We've got the podcast there as well. And really, just about every show, it might be a couple of exceptions, since we began this venture the first week of January 2011, we've got them all archived at BuckmasterShow.com. Our media friends, this is our shout out to TucsonSentinel.com, Inside Tucson Business, Green Valley News, and Sahuarita Sun and TucsonLifestyle.com, all friends of the Buckmaster Show. Tucson's mayor, Jonathan Rothschild, is with us, and joining me to question the mayor is the editor, publisher, and he's actually the founder of Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com, and his name is Dylan Smith. Dylan, how are you?
Just fine. Always happy to be here. And for some reason, you always have me on to question the mayor. Is that a thing, or is that just happenstance?
No, and actually, I think you might have been the last. We try to get the mayor on the program every couple of months, and it just so happens you were here the last time.
At the time before that, too, wasn't it?
Really?
You know, well, you know, Dylan, I think it's because you got the great radio voice.
Maybe that's it. Yeah, bringing Dylan for the mayor, it just seems like a natural fit. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm good, and thanks for having me.
You are so welcome. The Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. The mayor is also a very good sport about entertaining any questions or comments that come in. He will do his best to make sure you get an answer. And it doesn't have to be just on this show. You do try to answer email, don't you?
I answer a lot of emails.
Lots of questions about the pothole in my neighborhood, and on it goes.
I do.
Up the ladder, escalates the ladder. Speaking of roads, the RTA, Regional Transportation Board, approving yesterday the widening of Broadway to 6 lanes. Originally, this was talked about for 8 lanes, but this, and the word in there is talk, there's been talk of, this has gone on 29 months.
It's been 29 torturous months, Bill.
29 months.
But yesterday was a big step forward. The RTA, on an 8-1 vote, all of the regions voting with us, the cities, the county, everyone agreed that this hard work has been worth it, and that the city's plan to do 6 lanes with transit is a good plan, and we received, really yesterday's vote was simply to receive the final money to finish the technical design. I think we're 90% of the way there. So this is really just the crossing the T's and the dotting the I's. And I think those who wanted one thing, those who wanted another, the common theme was let's get it done, let's get it built. And this will be hopefully the last stage on that road to get Broadway where it really ought to be.
Farhad will be here, by the way, next week on our Friday roundtable. Mogimi, who has done a great job as head of the RTA.
Farhad has been a breath of fresh air for the region. He's professional. He communicates with all the jurisdictions, and the RTA is something that's working.
Okay, here's Dylan Smith.
That vote yesterday, the impact of that is to pretty much say a definitive no to the plan, the original plan to widen it to 8 lanes plus transit lanes in each direction, which would have been a huge corridor running all the way down Broadway. But this isn't quite the narrow plan that a lot of people on the task force were preferring. Was it inevitable just to kind of go with this mid-range plan?
Well, actually, the Citizens Task Force voted for this plan. This was their recommendation, which the city adopted. Then there was also the Broadway Coalition, and that group was the one that was really a no-build plan. And really this was done, the studies that we looked at really say that this is, given what traffic is and what we anticipate it to be, this is actually the most efficient way to go into the future. So, you know, you could say you split the baby, but the fact of the matter is we came to the right decision with a lot of hard work, and the Citizens Task Force were all volunteers. They put in, I looked at it yesterday, I think 34 meetings over the time, and listening to a lot of voices, and I was very happy with yesterday's vote.
There were still a lot of developers and folks like Cy Shore pushing for the widening, I guess you could call it.
Well, and I think Cy's point was, look, we passed this, and people always get concerned if you pass something and then don't do it. But actually, the language of the RTA in its original language was that you always look to functionality and you always look to judge the project. And actually, the Citizens Task Force Committee is something that's authorized in the RTA language. It makes sense. You know, nobody can be omniscient into years and years forward. And so everybody, all of the mayors, supervisors, or Valadez, we all believed we are doing the intent of the original vote.
My understanding of it is that the RTA's contribution to this project is fixed and the county's smaller contribution to this project is fixed. And anything over that, the city would be on the hook for. So it's already facing some funding challenges. Was it a smarter decision to go with a slightly smaller scale project just based on the economics of it?
Absolutely. And the county's contribution to this project is not small. It's $25 million. And it's very important that we get this project done. That's a big contribution from the county into a city road. And they stuck by it yesterday, and I was very, very pleased with that.
And, of course, the RTA did vet this with a legal group to make sure the language would be consistent with what the voters approved.
Yeah, the RTA has its own independent legal counsel, and they've given us a legal opinion that says this is
So what's the timeline now? I mean, we still don't have an alignment. We still don't know which buildings are going to be directly affected or have their parking lots vanish. And
right.
How's this going to play out?
We have what the city passed was a dotted line plan, not a solid line, but a dotted line. And that's, I'm going to assume, pretty close. I'm hoping, and this is my hope, that within 4 months we've got a final plan. And I think going forward like this and getting the RTA blessing on this is going to make it a lot easier at the council level to say, look, we had a preliminary plan. Here's the changes that we've made. Okay, let's approve it. Let's go.
790-2040, 790-2040 for questions for the mayor. What's the latest on the postal consolidation? There was a report out that this could cost Tucson over the long run $49 million if that goes forward.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of us are hoping it doesn't go forward.
Yeah, and we're going to fight this thing to the end. Councilman Fimbres, that's in his ward, and I just wrote a letter to the new Postmaster General, who is kind of grew up in the system and was a postal worker. Couple of things. One, the Auditor General came out with a report that said that the Postal Service used no criteria for judging this thing. So we're hoping
they threw it like a dartboard.
Yeah. So we're hoping that will catch somebody's attention in Washington. Second, and this is important to the state, that same report that showed the economic impact to Tucson showed that as a net economic loss to the state of Arizona was $6-7 million a year. So there is a gain to Phoenix, but a huge loss to the state as a whole. So what we need are champions in Congress. And Congressman Grijalva has been good. I am hoping to enlist Congressman Kirkpatrick, our new Congressman Gallego. Senator McCain would be most helpful on this.
Martha McSally, if she is
We will speak with the winner of that race, if it's Martha McSally. But we've got to get that champion. Now, we're going to find champions around the country on this, too. The other thing that came out of that recent study was that the postal closures disproportionately affect the western states.
Right.
And so we're going to take all that and see what we can do with it in D.C.
Certainly the most important thing of that is the economic impact and the jobs that people have here in Tucson. But just personally, it's a little bit disconcerting to have a letter that's mailed to me by someone in Tucson to my house in Tucson, and it's got a Phoenix postmark.
I know.
It doesn't look like federal efficiency, does it?
No, it doesn't.
We had a call from our friend Sheldon. He couldn't stick around, but his question was about the Broadway, the widening. I'm sure a lot of the merchants are happy that we're finally moving forward to this because they've been kind of in limbo. And Sheldon brings up about the historic preservation.
Well, one of the I think historical preservation and preserving business in this case go together. And one of the things that ultimately swayed me a lot was that the eight lanes essentially, it would have been on the north side of the street, would have taken out all of the businesses for a two-mile stretch. That's a big hit to the business community. And think about this, and it's not the most important thing, but it's actually in the Rio Nuevo district, so we lose that extra tax incentive money.
Oh, yeah.
But we lose the sales tax in general. And it, by the way, it's still going to be tough making it six lanes, but at least we can now find creative ways to save those businesses. And some of those businesses are historic buildings.
Right, they are. Ingrid would like to go on the air with the mayor. Let's see if we can work her in before the first break. Go ahead, Ingrid.
Hi. Well, I'll say quickly then that you talked earlier about Farhad Mokhini.
Mm-hmm.
I had the pleasure of speaking to him at length about various aspects of road construction and so forth, and seeing to it that the taxpayer is getting his money's worth. A very, very fine person, extremely patient, will tell you anything you want to know if it's within his power. And for that matter, while we're patting people on the back, Fred Felix of Tucson, an engineer for the roads in Tucson, same thing.
Okay.
Very, very fine people. I've discovered that speaking with engineers is an absolute pleasure. You get a lot of information out of them. Nothing seems to be twisted.
Okay. Thank you, Ingrid, for that comment.
And thank you. Any time that I can hear good things about city employees, I like to just pass it on to them and let
certainly,
them know.
Certainly. Why not?
Do you pass on the others?
I do. That's why when I hear something good, I definitely like to pass it on.
12:16 on the Friday edition of the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back with the mayor. Let's listen now to the Buckmaster Show sponsors. And please give these people your support. They make it possible for us to be on the air here. Be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Tucson Desert Art Museum, Tucson's newest art museum, is home to one of the premier collections of pre-1940s Navajo and Hopi textiles, exquisite classic and contemporary paintings and photography, early maps and historic artifacts. Visualize history through art at Tucson Desert Art Museum on East Tankerville Road at Sabino Canyon Road, just west of Udall Park, and on the web at TucsonDart.com. That's TucsonDart.com.
How would you like to help people in our community who are in need and save money on your taxes? The Arizona Charitable Tax Credit keeps your tax dollars in Tucson when you direct it to a qualifying charity. Individuals may donate up to $200 and married filing jointly up to $400. Receive a dollar-for-dollar credit that will reduce your Arizona state income tax. This could also be claimed on your federal taxes. Help local charities like Interfaith Community Services, Kids in Need, and others. Go to azcharitytaxcredit.org.
This is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Whether you shower, clean, or drink it, you will come in contact with water every day. So the question is, how often do you think about what's in your water, and how is your water affecting you and your loved ones? The fact is, there are likely contaminants in your water that will have an effect on the taste and smell of the water, not to mention why water is chlorinated. The good news is that Culligan has a solution. The Culligan AC30 reverse osmosis drinking water system is the powerful solution for filtering out impurities that affect your water. This state-of-the-art solution reduces chlorine and other contaminants that affect the taste and smell of your water. Of course, some contaminants may not be in your water. Why not take your drinking water to the next level with a Culligan drinking water system for $9.95 per month for the first 3 months' service on an annual rental agreement? Call 792-9700 for details. That's 792-9700 or visit us at arizonaculligan.com. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours. But no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a 4-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Devereaux, Arizona inspires hope in the lives of the most vulnerable members of our community, our children. In Pima County, there are more than 4,000 children in foster care that need your help. Devereaux, Arizona's foster care program gives you the training and support you need to make a difference in the life of a child. Donate, volunteer, or become a foster parent. Find out how at devereauxarizona.org or call 520-296-5551.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Jerry!
What's wrong?
The client conference call is right now.
I thought it was next week.
I don't have the presentation ready.
Okay. Blame the internet. Say it went out.
They'll never believe that. They know we have Cox Business. Our internet is too reliable and is 100 times faster than basic DSL.
Say customer service is closed.
Cox Business has 24/7 support.
Well, say it would take too long to get a technician here.
No, they know the award-winning customer service is local. They told us they get Cox Business.
The call has started.
Good morning.
I forgot about this meeting. We have terrific internet.
Get Cox Business Internet and Voice for only $99 per month. Speed options up to 100 times faster than basic DSL. Plus, get your first month free. Visit coxbusiness.com and switch today. Ends 1/4/15. Price excludes taxes, fees, and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Visit coxbusiness.com for internet speed options and details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Are you looking for a good auto mechanic? Well, that's a question that I'm sure probably every one of us gets asked every week or so. Mike Emery and the team at Perfection Auto Works, I give a big shout out to them. Foreign and domestic cars, they take care of all of your needs. PerfectionAutoWorks.com, convenient Midtown location a block south of Speedway on North Beverly. The Tucson mayor, Mr. Jonathan Rothschild, is with us in studio on our Friday Focus interview, along with Dylan Smith, who is the editor and publisher of Tucson's online news service known as TucsonSentinel.com. Mayor, very few people these days, it seems, well, I shouldn't say very few, let's say fewer people are playing golf this. It's not just here in Tucson. It is a national trend. And we have golf courses.
We do. The city has 5 of them.
We have 5 of them. And a firm out of Scottsdale kind of took over the management of these 5 golf courses. And how are they doing?
Well, the reports I get, and some of this is anecdotal, but it's so consistent. The new management's doing a great job. And what I'm hearing from everyone is the golf experience at the city golf courses is far superior to what it was.
So those playing golf are enjoying it more, apparently.
Yeah, the issue's going to be, so far, we have not seen the fact that we're having our golfers like the courses better show increased revenue. And
it's the same number of golfers. They're just having more fun.
That could be. But it's early on in the contract. I think we're all at the council wanting to see if the word gets out and people start playing the city courses, what that does. Now, the fact of the matter is we have three courses that have historically and consistently made money and two that have not. And
what are the two that have not?
Inky and El Rio.
Okay.
And so at some point you're going to have a discussion at council, I'm sure, about that.
What to do about it.
You know, and what's the priority? I mean, I believe there is a place for municipal golf still, but it's at what level you're willing to support it and with what resources.
How do the people who are pushing to expand Reed Park play into that discussion?
Well,
to take those two golf courses or one of those two golf courses and turn that into more of a public park rather than being just golf only.
Well, I think if the trend continues not to get better, then whoever comes along with a plan that works is going to get some play. And the folks that are looking to do that, they're being active, they're being cooperative, they're understanding that this needs some time, but I don't think they're going to go away, and it's going to be an interesting conversation. The problem there is that those are two courses that actually do well for themselves, and they're the central courses.
Yeah.
So
would those golfers perhaps go to another city course, or would they go to a private course?
You know, that's what you don't know.
Yeah.
And you know, the real question is, if you did something with a west side course, would they come into the other courses or not?
Yeah.
Or the east side course, and the east side course we have is the only east side course we have, and so it probably will be deja vu all over again.
How long does that contract run?
It's a 5-year contract, but it's got renewable clauses, so I think we renew it each year.
Hey, the company that built our streetcars, Made in the USA, they're struggling right now in the streetcar business. So I guess we're very lucky that the streetcars, we got our streetcars, but maybe a little late, but
well,
you know, they came in.
We were kind of at the forefront of cities that jumped on the streetcar bandwagon, if that's even, that kind of paints a little bit of an image. But
great to be made in the USA, but then they have found that maybe this is not what this particular company should be concentrating on.
Well, so what I learned in all of this process of getting this thing built is that the streetcar company, Oregon Iron Works, turns out to be a subsidiary of probably the largest federal contractor in the United States. These folks build hydroelectric dams. They build rail systems.
Oh.
They're not going anywhere.
Okay.
And there were three cities, Portland, Tucson, and Washington, D.C., who got this streetcar money out of the stimulus package. And that was it. And so they knew that going in. I think they were hoping to see more. There are other cities who are still looking to do it, and then their cities decide not to do it. You know, the issue for us isn't, you know, our streetcar is built. We've got they are a nice product.
Mm-hmm. Do we have the spare parts for the long term if this company's not doing that job anymore?
Right. The part for the question for us is labor and maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
And they were late by a year. We do have a liquidated damages provision, and we are negotiating that. And so part of that negotiation will be to assure that our folks are properly trained labor-wise and that the parts and materials are going to be there. But as I say, this is a company that has the capacity to keep a repair shop going. So we'll see how it plays out, but it is interesting.
We have the end of the calendar year just less than 3 weeks away. The city will be facing some major financial challenges. A little bit on that perhaps before we leave.
Sure.
Pensions, on,
sure.
On and on.
You know, people ask me, what is the most challenging part of this job? And I can tell you, it's pretty simple. The most challenging part of running this city, and quite frankly now any large city in the United States, is having revenues keep up with expenditures and fixed expenditures. In the city, we have sales tax that's relatively well fixed. We could do a small limited issue, but you have to go to the voters, so you have to be very concentrated on what you do. And we have state shared revenue, and the state is not exactly apparently in very good financial situation and doesn't appear to want to take those hard decisions. You know, at the county level, you turn the property tax knob and you have revenue. At the state level, you turn the income tax knob and you have revenue. The city, we don't have those options. And so we are in constantly looking at ways. There's some things we can do. One of the things is in a charter change. We're the only city left in the state that has limited ourselves on our bonding capacity. There is a state limit. If we just put ourselves to the state limit, we would have $600 million more dollars of bonding capacity. Now, that's bonding capacity, but that can change a city. We can look at a quarter cent sales tax brings to the city $25 million a year. If you were to say, let's do that for 3 years to clean up our graffiti, clean up our streets, do code enforcement, would the voters be for that? I don't know. Transit, we put $40, $42 million a year into transit. Is that enough? Is that not enough? You can have that discussion. Ultimately, we're going to have to move to a regional transit authority, and those conversations are beginning. But that's, if you really want to get to what things are that I sleep pretty well at night, but when I wake up in the middle of the night, those are the things I'm thinking about.
All right, Mayor, thank you very much. And we hope, I'm sure Dylan speaks as well on this subject. We hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season. And thanks for being with us.
And the same to both of you. And I really appreciate the work that both of you do in this community keep people informed.
Thank you very much. And we'll see you in the new year. Coming up now on 12:31 on the Buckmaster Show, our Friday edition, we do our Friday Focus interview. The first half of the show, and then we do our Friday roundtable. That's coming up on the Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
Geez, Edith, where's the car? Meathead was supposed to meet us out front there.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Archie. He took it over to Perfection Auto Works.
Oh, gosh, yeah, Edith, I told you I don't want anybody touching that car unless they know what they was doing.
Archie, Mike Emery knows what he's doing. He's ASE certified and he restores old cars.
Why, Edith, you done it again. Jeez, Edith, is that the LaSalle? Listen to it purring.
It reminds me of the first time you took me out on a date, Archie.
Oh, yes, you were purring yourself that night, weren't you, Edith?
Oh, Archie.
Stifle yourself there, Edith.
We specialize in Porsche, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and even LaSalle. But don't let that scare your Toyota or Chevy away. 323-8650 or perfectionautoworks.com.
G.R.O. LaSalle and Gray knows why they're there.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
Dave Fitzsimmons, cartoonist here. Planning a party or a special event? Check him out at ArizonaPartyRental.net.
This is Chris Edwards from Tucson Appliance. When it comes to parties and events, I always use Arizona Party Rental, where quality and customer service are their priority as well.
This is Bill Viner with the Tucson Festival of Books. Arizona Party Rental is a great partner. They maintain high standards for all of their products and deliver five-star service.
I'm Diana Cannon, Tournament Director for the Tucson Association of Realtors Shoot. If you're planning an event, big or small, put Arizona Party Rental on your team.
Hi, this is Andy Brown. I've been in the special event business over 20 years, and nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
This is Bob Schaff. For your next party or event, don't think about calling anyone but Arizona Party Rental. Their selection is amazing, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce
an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. See the world under glass at Biosphere 2. Step inside this living laboratory to explore how today's biggest environmental questions are being answered, and enjoy the view. Experience the new Ocean Gallery, featuring the Return to the Sea of Cortez exhibit. Bigger questions, better answers. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2. Open daily. Visit biosphere2.org for details. Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Here we go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Friday afternoon. It's time for our Friday Roundtable. Dan Scheer, editor of the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun, is joining us now on our roundtable. And Dylan Smith sticks around from our interview with Mayor Rothschild. Dylan Smith is the editor and publisher of TucsonSentinel.com, Tucson's online news service. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Any news on the recount, the McSally Barber recount?
Well, you know, I think on Wednesday they had finished recounting all 252,000 ballots. We won't know till next week exactly how that turned out. I did find out this morning that there are 21 extra ballots that they have discovered. These were regular ballots that people went to the polls and cast, that there was no difference in the number of ballots for provisionals or early ballots, but there are 21 more. They're not telling us which precinct they came out of, so we don't know which way they may have leaned or anything, but
turned up.
Yeah. Somebody's stuck to the bottom of somebody's shoe.
Somebody's garbage can. I don't know what happened. But
well, we'll know by Wednesday. We'll know by Wednesday what happens, of course. So we know
sure
that.
Sure, these voters are still alive and not deceased. I mean, coming from Cook County in Chicago, I know how that works, right, Dylan? Yeah.
Early and often.
Always suspicious out there, and as well you should be. But we do know that Martha McSally was given a couple of assignments already, and so at least Washington is acting. Yeah, they were. Armed Services and then, Department of Homeland Security.
Yep.
So the Congress is acting as if she's in, and we will know here in less than a week.
Well, that's something that the Republican caucus votes on, their steering committee. So it's not Congress itself doesn't make the committee assignments. The two parties do.
Oh, well, I heard they were part of Congress.
But, she's, well, I mean, they are moving ahead as if she's going to be seated. But I'm sure the Democrats also voted to keep Ron on those same two committees.
They didn't tell us if they did, but
good point. Dylan, your publication, your online publication, TucsonSentinel.com, had a couple of interesting pieces about dark money. Arizona has been cited as a special place for so-called dark money operations, and the public, in another article, public has dark opinion of dark money in elections.
You know, we've got some interesting election laws here in Arizona, and some interesting shenanigans going around around federal election laws as well. We posted a story today from one of our partners about a couple of $1 million, at least, are sort of missing from an Arizona political nonprofit that's associated with the Koch brothers.
Whoa.
And there's one group that says they gave a grant to another political group. Mm-hmm. Only the second political group says they never got the money. Mm. So somewhere there's a seven-figure sum that's floating around, and no one quite knows where it went, except for political consultant Sean Noble, who is an Arizona political consultant who mostly works out of D.C.
And Dan, a lot of so-called dark money, a lot was spent in this last campaign.
Ryan, it depends on who you believe here, but I think best guesstimates are, I think, $15 million, and then nationwide, almost $170 million is one of the figures that I was reading. So, you know, the bottom line is people want to know who is trying to influence their elections, and I don't think that that's too much to ask, but you're right. Arizona has been a place that has attracted a lot of this money. Obviously, we had a couple of tight races, and there's a lot of interest here, but it's very frustrating for people because, unfortunately, a lot of this money is poured into attack ads and unfortunately, into processes that work, that do tend to influence people.
And we have dark money is something that, can Arizona do anything that would go against the national grain? The Supreme Court has had several rulings about so-called dark money. What could the legislature do to change this situation?
Well, when it comes to the...
And would they even have the...
When it comes to the federal level, not so much. That's all controlled by Congress and the Federal Election Commission and, all of that. Arizona does have what... should be some pretty good laws at the state level about what goes on here in the state and around clean elections. Unfortunately, a lot of times they are not enforced to their fullest extent. We've seen over the last couple of election cycles, people getting, from both sides of the aisle being eventually, hit up because they stepped over the line. But the consequences for doing so, although... they're potentially pretty drastic. They never really turn out that way. We saw with Tom Horn, potentially facing $1 million fine or something like that, and not getting anywhere near that for doing something he was not supposed to do.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation. The governor of Arizona, she's still the governor for about a month or so. She will be asking the Supreme Court to block the Dreamers licenses. This is that concerning keeping driver's licenses out of the hands of the so-called Dreamers. Dan, do you think people are really following this Dreamers case that carefully, or is it just us in the media?
Well, that's a good question. Or does anybody really care whether they're on the? Are they going to be on the roads anyway? Wouldn't you rather have them licensed? I think that's
insured.
The question. Yeah, insured, and hopefully at least. But I think the governor and people who support her in this, their problem, of course, is anything that legitimizes their presence, they don't want to happen. And so I understand that point of view. The reality, though, is that they're here. They're probably driving, and why don't we, just do it right? Is what the other side is saying. So, but yeah, does anybody care about that? That's a great question, actually.
A lot of money has been spent when you look back on the Brewer administration and the administration of the Attorney General Tom Horn. They have been really quick to take some of these matters to the Supreme Court, and doesn't that eventually get back to taxpayer money?
Well, we've seen in a number of cases where, especially dealing with the legislature, where outside counsel has been brought in. That is, never cheap. I just had to write a check to a lawyer yesterday, and I'm still a little bit steamed about that. So, I won't go down that road too often. But
even if somebody in the billing you on every 10-minute increment, and you only had a 10-minute.
Somebody who was quite nice in the bill that was sent, but it's still that's never one you really like doing. But anyway, even if it's the attorneys in the Attorney General's office or who are working on the case, that still costs the taxpayers money, and a lot of these things do appear to be quite a bit more politically oriented than they are purely on a legal basis. All of the court machinations around SB 1070 and pretty much that entire law has been just thrown out by the courts as unconstitutional at this point. But we had case after case after case after case on that.
Guys, I didn't put this on your briefing. I was trying to brief you guys on what we would like to talk about.
We can roll with it.
And this is just came to my mind that we really need to talk about it because it is a hot, hot potato, getting a lot of national attention. And this has to do with whether Pima County will be hiring people who are smokers. And there's a I believe the supervisors are going to address this on Tuesday at the meeting, and it's gotten a lot of national attention with national talk show hosts. Ali Miller sent out a news release, I think it was yesterday, saying that 40 different publications across the country have been talking about this. So it's a hot potato.
You know, the county has already made it very, very difficult to be a smoker and be a county employee. You can't smoke anywhere on county property. You can't smoke in a county vehicle. You know, they've already done a lot to discourage people from smoking. Whether we need to take this extra step, you know, we do spend a whole lot of money, taxpayers' money, on the health care of people who are smokers who work for the county.
But that's no doubt. But we've also asked them to kick in more. If you're a smoker, I know where I work, if you're a smoker, you're paying more for your health benefits and such. And to me, the two key words here are slippery slope. And what next? If you ride a motorcycle, are they going to not hire you? If you don't wear your seatbelt, are they not going to hire you? And things like that. So that's the question. I completely understand this, but I will tell you, I was blown away by this proposal because I've not heard of it elsewhere, and it's very it's a slippery slope. I just don't even know how else to describe it. I'm really, really surprised to see this.
You're saying it's a freedom of individual liberty, in effect,
In a sense, if you want to kill yourself, but I am all for you paying your own way in doing that, too. And again, those people are. It's through higher premiums for their insurance and various other ways. So, but yeah, they call off sick more often. There are lots of things. But you know what? Then let's start getting into things like obesity. And then, okay, mm-hmm. maybe someone with diabetes, we're not going to, charge them. We're a self-insured company where I work, and so we probably have 10% of the people accounting for 80% of the medical costs. Are we going to start targeting them to make it easier on the rest of us? I think that would be wrong.
I mean, are we going to have the day where when you go to apply for a job, you'll take a blood test and then come back with a genetic testing map of that you may be prone to this disease?
Absolutely. So it's a slippery slope, like I said. Don't feel comfortable with it.
Bruce Wheeler, the assistant Democrat House leader, was on the Buckmaster Show this week, and Bruce is very concerned about what's going on up at what will be going on at the legislature, and the budget crisis that is going to be probably the biggest since certainly the Great Recession started in around 2008, 2009. Dylan, we're talking about a $1 billion deficit here.
This crisis is really of our own doing. This is not something that, you know, you can point back like, the recession, where it was outside forces beyond our control. These are our elected leaders who willingly and knowingly made a choice that led us to this point. You know, we have money that was supposed to go to schools, that voters had directed to go to schools, that they chose to not send to schools. And now that a judge is saying, well, sorry, you have to fix this, they're throwing up their hands and saying, well, we don't know what to do.
And the more I hear about the so-called budget crisis, and there's no doubt, and his interview was very good with you and really kind of detailed some of the problems we're having, but part of me wonders whether this is all manufactured in a sense to so they can create a good argument not to pay back over $300 million to the schools, which is owed. And that is very bothersome to me and for a lot of people down where I am, in Green Valley, where education is very important. And to get the thought that they would buy their way out of this for a far less sum is not settling well.
And that's the idea that's floating around, is that the legislature will tell the judge that, oh, it's just impossible, we can't pay it.
Absolutely.
Lori Roberts writing for the Arizona Republic today that the Arizona legislature seeks to stiff school children again, and the leadership wants to delay this $317 million. and they've asked a judge to do it.
Well, delaying is what got us into this in the first place, you know, by, hey, we're in a world of hurt financially, so we can't pay them that money. This is where it's gotten to us now. So before it gets over, you know, way far deeper than $300 million, we need to just get it back to the schools. And frankly, we could use it down where we are. We're a growing district.
Okay. Top story of the year. I guess I will ask you that next week, Dan Scheer, what the top story of the year has been down in your area. Dylan, what do you think, just off the top of your head here locally? What's been the big story?
I don't know that I can point to just one. It kind of depends on what area you're looking at. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you've got the results of the recent election are, you know, always a big story, but we've got an election every year around here, so mm-hmm. that kind of, you know, keeps rolling along.
And we have
the streetcar finally getting rolling.
Certainly, that
in,
would
in
be
many ways you know,
that
a
would
moment.
Be on my top five list. For
we
the
need
city,
to see
certainly.
How that plays out over time. You know, how much it spurs further development. How many people are actually riding and paying to ride it, and one that, you know, it's a and I meant to ask the mayor about this, but we kind of ran out of time. It's just sort of a, you know, Tucson taking care of its roads, and we've made a little bit of progress there. In fact, I think they're actually ahead of schedule in the roads that they said they were going to fix with those road bonds.
Right, the five-year road program, we're through now with the first year, and they are ahead of schedule on year number one. Are your roads okay in Green Valley, Dan?
No, but remember, we've talked a couple of times about how people, some HOAs have just said, you know what, we're going to do it ourselves. They're paying for resurfacing, and certainly not if a road needs to be completely overhauled, but a lot of them have just said the county, which is our first layer of government in Green Valley, is not going to do it. So a lot of them have just done it themselves, paid for it themselves.
Okay, and Dan, you'll be back with me next Friday. We should, speaking of roads, we'll talk with the head of the Regional Transportation Authority, and a lot of stuff happening with the RTA and the Broadway widening this week, and there's always a lot to talk about when it comes to roads. Dylan, hope you have a great holiday season. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thank you. Back at you for everybody else out there as well. Happy holidays.
Thanks a lot. We'll be right back with Weekend Watch.
HSL Properties presents the inaugural Tucson Jazz Festival on Friday, January 16th through Wednesday, January 28th. This auspicious musical event begins with jazz master Jimmy Cobb and the TJI Ellington Band at the Fox Theater.
Here I go again.
Award-winning jazz virtuoso Joe Bourne pays tribute to Frank Sinatra at a Sunday big band brunch at La Paloma on January 25th. Later that evening at the Fox Theater, the Tucson Hard Bop Quintet opens for vocalist Alan Harris as he pays tribute to Nat King Cole. The festival will close with an intimate performance by the legendary Burt Bacharach on Wednesday, January 28th at the Fox. Tickets are going fast, so don't wait. Buy your tickets right now and get more information on our free concerts at TucsonJazzFestival.org or call 547-3040.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2 hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson, it's the way to go.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Want the best care for your companion animal?
then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Weekend Watch with Matt Russell, brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. May I suggest heading over there tomorrow for the holiday fair in downtown Silver City at the historic post office? Great place to get a very unique gift. You can find out about the great places to stay and things to do at southwestnewmexico.org. Great places to stay like Casitas de Gila guest houses. Let's welcome now the host of Weekend Watch, award-winning Tucson publicist, the food and beverage columnist for Inside Tucson Business, all-around nice guy who breaks out the Santa suit this time of year for the Russell Public Communication Party, Matt Russell.
Thanks, Bill. I'm actually sitting here at Frankie's South Philly Cheesesteaks about to tear into an iconic sandwich, and people are taking a look at me in the Santa suit and thinking, I bet he's going to have to let another notch out of that belt today.
Well, thank goodness you have that belt. It really has notches all the way around, so there is always very forgiving and plenty of room with that big, huge Santa belt. Friday happy hour upon us.
Yeah, it's such a spectacular day today, and my pick for happy hour is the patio at McMahon's Prime Steakhouse over on Swan and Fort Lowell. They call their happy hour prime time, and the best part about it is darn near everything on that menu is only $6. And this includes burgers and oysters on the half shell, jumbo shrimp cocktail, even beef Wellington and escargot, all $6, and cocktails as well, from martinis to Manhattans and everything in between, $6. I say get your weekend kicked off at McMahon's prime time, starting at 3 o'clock today.
Speaking of burgers.
Yeah, we just love the 4th Avenue Street Fair, Bill, which runs this weekend all up and down 4th Avenue, and we're always on the lookout for a great meal to fuel us while we're down there. And this weekend, I have to suggest the Super Sunrise Burger at Lindy's, that iconic 4th Avenue burger joint that has attracted national attention. This burger starts with a gorgeous patty topped with cheddar cheese and a fried egg, along with ketchup and tater tots on the burger itself, Bill, lovingly nestled between two grilled cheese sandwiches. I tell you, this burger is going to give you the sustenance that you need to get through the fair, followed, of course, by an epic nap. Lindy strikes again, Bill, with this super sunrise burger.
Oh, you make that burger sound so good. Maybe a little bit of mayo, too. Smother it on there so you've got it all. Grand opening of a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah, it's happening on Sunday at 11 o'clock. If you're a fan of authentic Central Mexican cuisine, then get over to Reforma in St. Philip's Plaza when the doors swing open on Sunday at 11. Now, Reforma is a vision of the same team that brought us Union Public House, so we know it's going to be a lot of fun with a lot of flavor. And with more than 200 tequilas on their list, it may be my new home away from home. Check out Reforma this Sunday, Bill.
And we'll check out the column as well, right?
Absolutely. A local chef recently made me cry, Bill Buckmaster. She quite literally drove me to tears, and I tell the full sobbing story in this week's edition of Inside Tucson Business. You won't believe it.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Cheers to you, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is presented by Culligan. Better water, pure and simple. Thank you, Culligan, for supplying all of our in-studio guests with a nice chilled bottle of Culligan water. The Buckmaster Show is a production of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC. We are wholly responsible for its content. On behalf of our team here at KVOI, Ed Alexander, Tom Fairbanks, Ray Allen, and my executive assistant, Rosemary Brandt, I am Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a wonderful and safe weekend.